Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. This is your host, Aditya. And after a long gap, I'm happy to have Bharat Mishra back on the show.
Hey, hi, guys. So good to be back, even though remotely. We're not in the same time zones.
Still, it's Singapore, Bombay is not too bad.
Yeah.
So this is a catch-up episode in that we're reviewing one of the movies that we missed over the last few months, as promised. So this week's topic of discussion is Zero. I don't really know where to begin or how to describe this, but this podcast came about because I saw that you posted something on Instagram about this film, which I found pretty funny. So I'll let you speak about the film.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to begin by stating that I am biased towards Shah Rukh Khan's films, okay?
Okay.
I am a fan of Shah Rukh Khan. I don't know why. I think it's because he's charming. I mean, for me, there is no question of whom do I like better. Is it Salman or Shah Rukh? There is not even like a speck of doubt in my mind. So I'm coming from a perspective of already liking a Shah Rukh film. So I had the same reaction with Fan. I really enjoyed Fan. I don't know if you've discussed it or if you've watched it.
I've definitely watched it. I don't know if we did a podcast on it. It's a while ago.
Yeah.
But I also enjoyed Fan, but I'll come back to that.
Yeah, so I went into Zero wanting to like it. And I think I was really, really confused when I left the cinema hall because I found it to be a mishmash of interesting ideas, but caught between very, very mediocre storytelling, very in-your-face direction, and very almost absurd plot twists, you know? Yeah. So that's how I would sum it up to begin with. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, so to me, my biggest problem with the film was that, A, if you want to be like a fantastical or a fantasy film, then go all out and do that. This was like based in the real world, but there's really strange things happening.
Yeah.
One, but even that, fine, okay, you can write it off and say, you know what, like movies, creative license, Bollywood especially, you know, things aren't grounded in logic and reality half the time, fine. My even bigger problem was that for the first time in a Shah Rukh Khan film, I think, no matter how questionable or, you know, on the line of being morally right and wrong characters he's played in the past have been, his characters have always been likable and you're kind of rooting for them, even in Fan. Whereas here, I just found Bawa Singh to be fundamentally unlikable as a human being. From the beginning, he's crass, he's entitled, he's, you don't ever feel any kind of sympathy for him. Even when he goes through whatever he goes through when it comes to, okay, we're going to do spoilers in this film. I think it's impossible to discuss without. Yeah. But even when he goes through his quote-unquote heartbreak, it's because he's been an asshole. Like, he cannot blame anyone but himself. There's
no
Baoji who's come in and said, you can't marry this girl because you're not of the same caste. There's no, like, everything has been there for him and he's just been an idiot.
But that's interesting, right? I mean, don't you derive not likability, but some sort of humanness that you would not probably derive from a Raj and Simran, Raj in DDLJ, right? Because he's not this morally upright, completely likable, instantly, you know, likable character. He is definitely with not without flaws, But my point is, we show why he is like this. We see that he has a bit of an asshole father. We see that he's he basically has a complex for being vertically challenged, right?
But to me, that doesn't come across. Like, they don't spend enough time exploring that or saying that, okay, you know what? I behave like this because of something that has happened to me. You are just shown that, okay, this guy, like, yeah, he has some throwaway lines that, like, haan, matlab, pure dunya ne socha ki mera kuch nahi hoga, etc. But it's also just feels like him using it as a way to justify his bad behavior, as opposed to showing that there is actually some angst or something there.
Correct. It's not explored at all. It's not explored. It's very hinted at, and it's never truly used to its full potential. Yeah.
So to me, that was a problem, which then made it. I found it hard to really invest in the character or in the film, where I would then be able to say, okay, I'll excuse this absurd plot twist because, like, theek hai, like. Yeah, it also felt like, I mean, there was no, I didn't understand also the point of him going to Mars.
I don't know, dude.
It just happens. Like, he's there. Malika Dua is like, chalo idhar aao. He goes to Mars.
I mean, as I tried to over-analyze in my post, I don't know. Is it in some way related to how initially he is able to move celestial objects around? And then in the end, I mean, again, I'm basically shooting an arrow in the dark, but and that scene where he tries the same trick with Anushka's character Afia as sort of like a getting laid sort of a trick.
Yeah.
And but we see that Afia likes him for many, many reasons, and the last of which is probably this.
Yeah.
And in the end, in a mission that is headed by Afia, and to sort of, in a very convoluted way, redeem his love, he has to move himself to a celestial object. I don't know.
Sure. I actually read it because the whole him moving stars thing really confused me, because I was like, is this just make-believe or, like, what is happening? I actually, like, spent time researching this, and there's an interesting theory on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not.
It's basically, the theory is that he doesn't actually move the objects, but because he has been sleeping on with an open roof for so long, he basically just knows the sky really well. And so he knows which stars are going to fall and turn into shooting stars. And
but dude,
all he does is just do it at that time. And that's why he can't do it when he's in, when he's not in Meerut.
But then, how... Wait,
this
no.
This was also a theory by a Shah Rukh Khan superfan who was trying to justify this. But
I don't think that makes sense, because the way he moves it is very, like, drastic.
Yeah.
The stars, like, all of the entire sky almost changes. So I don't find that very believable, but fine.
Yeah, I didn't say it was but true or believable. I'm just saying this is the extent to which Shah Rukh fans will go.
Will go, yeah. I actually want to meet Anand Nel Rai and ask him this, because he seems to be an interesting filmmaker. Okay?
Yeah, and that's the thing that also surprised me, because I don't think this was as bad as Jab Harry Met Sejal, but it was just, again, a film where you're just like, why is this happening? Like, surely you know better, or surely
exactly
you can see that this is, you know, not working.
I think the entire film is on that. You know, sometimes you watch a film by a good filmmaker.
Yeah.
And you keep on excusing them. Ki, ha, iska, you know, there must be something behind this.
Yeah.
Obviously, surely you can't be doing this just randomly. But the film ends there, you know, on me feeling like that. So, I don't know what he was going for. Which is why I'm trying to, like, I would never try to over-intellectualize a Salman Khan film, right? Because I know there is not much behind, barring a Kabir Khan.
Yeah.
I don't think he's worked with many directors who've put that much thought into subtext.
And I mean, for better or for worse, he is also not trying to do that in his films. Like, he's very clear that this is a film where logic is not a part of the equation. You just watch it to watch me and have fun.
But that's what I kind of like about Shah Rukh Khan. And I know there are a few things to like about him at this point. but I like the fact that, you know, with every film, not counting Jab Harry Met Sejal, he's trying to experiment with something really wacky, you know. So with Fan, he did something, a weird kind of a double role where he's literally made himself ugly, you know. And I to find Fan a very good film, right? We can discuss that at a later time or whenever.
No, but I agree. Even with, I agree with your general point that I would much rather, you know, have Shah Rukh Khan than Salman Khan in terms of when it comes to choices of films and the type of films they're doing. I also, I mean, I'm not like a super fan or anything, but I also generally like Shah Rukh Khan. As a, I don't know about as a person, but at least as an actor, as in terms of watching his films, I enjoy watching his films, at least up till like, you know, 2014 or so, when like the whole Happy New Year, what's the other, Chennai Express, all those films came out. But
I really liked Happy New Year. I thought it was, it scored well on mindless humor, you know. Chennai Express was grating, you know. It was not, it did not give me even that, like a laugh.
No, but I mean, but then after that, I felt like he had kind of turned around, because even if he didn't get great commercial success, I liked both Fan and Rais.
Yeah, Rais was interesting.
Yeah. And they were both, you know, him not playing a typical, stereotypical hero type role. Him doing something different. I mean, you can argue about how different at the end of the day Rais is, but
Rais, I would say, still is a your 70s 80s anti-hero, you know.
But still, it was not, you know, Prem Dilwala or whatever Salman Khan's name is in half his movies.
That's
his name in Prem Ratan Dilwala. So. Like, that part, I appreciate the general kind of thought behind it in terms of his overall choices. But this film, in and of itself, I just found to be a mess.
Yeah. I the one thing that I liked and I was surprised was Katrina Kaif in the film.
Yeah, I agree, actually.
I actually liked her, not just her character, but the way she's doing it, because I think she's not acting a lot.
And I liked that whole, there was a little, that whole phase is basically like an in joke on Bollywood, where it's like everyone knows that everyone is assholes. Everyone knows that these parties are BS.
Yeah.
And like Katrina is like, I'm going to let you guys in on the joke, basically.
I think the attempt with Zero was to make like a fairy tale love story of sorts. And I don't know if it is a really dumb, like if there were a really dumb way of thinking about it, is ki प्रोड्यूसर ने बोला यार कुछ फेरी टेल एलिमेंट्स डालो यार मतलब अच्छा तो स्टार्स को घुमा देता है वो हाउ अबाउट दैट लाइक हां अच्छा यू नो एंड आई थिंक आल्सो आई थिंक द प्रॉब्लम विद शाहरुख खान फिल्म्स इज ही रिलाइज टू मच ऑन हिज चार्म व्हिच इज स्लोली गोइंग अवे
या आई वाज गोना से लाइक फॉर वंस द अदर थिंग आल्सो इज लाइक आई जस्ट डिडंट रियली लाइक शाहरुख खान मच इन दिस फिल्म
या
लाइक ही जस्ट वाज I mean, I think you used the word to describe Chennai Express. I'll use it again. It just felt grating, just watching him do the stuff. It's like he was like, there was no earnestness. It just felt like he's too cocky or too kind of, you know.
I think you get away with it when you're very good looking and you're 20 something, right? But I mean, like a Kabir Singh can get away with it. Okay. With being that cocky a character. But with Shah Rukh Khan, the problem is, like, he's 50 something, right?
38 and you according can't, to the film.
38 according to the movie. And I think, and I have a theory about this also. I think it is imperative for him to play deformed or different versions of himself, because he has to hide the fact that he's so old. So he has to appear patched up everywhere so that he can pull off even romancing anybody close to, I mean, you know, that you can on screen, like romance on screen, like as a, I don't know what age Anushka Sharma's character is in the film, but I'm sure it's 30s, right?
Yeah.
So I think, and I've noticed this with the Rajinikanth films as well, that of late, their look doesn't change, right? His hair will be set in a different way. Shah Rukh's hair is set almost always in the same style, okay? It's never changing, because you can't show aging. You can't show an aging Shah Rukh Khan on screen ever, right? Yeah. And I have an interesting observation with regard to actors as they grow older. Their hair becomes exactly static, okay? So their hair doesn't move. Rais mein, he's doing all these action sequences. Like, big old action sequences.
I've never paid so much attention to hair before, but yeah. I see your
No,
point.
Because it irks me. So I watched Article 15. So Article 15, mein, not even a single strand of Ayushman's hair is out of place. Okay. And like he's doing like really crazy shit. Like he's going into knee deep waters and looking out for dead bodies and he's chasing goons and shooting them and all that. But his hair doesn't move. And I think it's a sign of, you know, as you grow older and as your hairline recedes, you're all the more.
Ayushman, I don't think has a receding hairline as far as I know.
I don't know. I think
it might just be just bad continuity by Bollywood people and vanity on part of the actors.
Correct.
Who are like, because if you look at
exactly. If you look at 20-year-old Shah Rukh Khan or like 20-something Shah Rukh Khan, let's say Dil Se, you know, his hair is all over the place. It's doing a thing of its own. Now I don't have that. That charisma is gone.
Anyway, back to Zero. I didn't really like Shah Rukh Khan in the film. Even I thought his Mohammad Zeeshan Ayub was a bit over the top.
I think he's typecast now. Yeah. He's completely typecast as a second fiddle.
That is fine, but even then, you can still. I feel like he could have done something a bit more. Anushka Sharma, I thought was good.
She was good, but I mean, I liked her in the film. I'm sure, like as an actor, she did a good job, good enough job. I felt her character was really spineless. I felt because
I agree.
Dude, he literally berates her in public. And she's a scientist of repute, right?
Yeah.
She's almost like heading the project. She is not even almost. She is heading the project. And it's just unbelievable that like a Meratia guy. Yeah.
I mean, I think the only way they try to justify that is her whole monologue that she gives where she says that he's the only one who doesn't treat me differently than the way he treats anyone else. Like, he doesn't try to be careful around me or whatever.
But that is also not believable, man.
Which part is not believable?
This fact. I mean, like, seriously, nobody else has treated you normally.
I mean, I think that is more believable than some of the other things in the movie. It still is not enough to justify being with this guy, given, especially like, okay, you know what, the first part of it, fine, you know, you can still get away with it. But then going back to him at the end and breaking off your marriage and all of that was just like,
too much.
I do not understand the end. Like, how is he alive? Was that a dream sequence? Is that like,
don't look at me.
Because I'm pretty sure he can't survive 15 years lost in space without.
And I saw the movie only once, so remind, like, jog my memory. Was there a sequence with a monkey somewhere? There was, right? Yeah. With a chimpanzee. There was something there.
So basically,
right?
the original plan that NASA, whatever, fake NASA had was to send a monkey into space.
Yeah.
But then in one half scene, where the monkey basically goes crazy in front of an audience where she's presenting.
Oh, yeah.
They decide, okay, the monkey is maybe not fit for purpose. So let's go with the next best thing, which is a 4-foot-2 human being from Meerut.
Oh, and that's when that's the same scene in which
he comes.
It is revealed. Yeah. I mean, when it slips into melodrama, I'm done. Over. Mera bachcha. There's a scene like that, right?
Yeah. Because apparently Anushka had a kid, which was Shah Rukh's kid. And yeah.
And there's a random R. Madhavan also in the movie, right?
He's the fiancé.
Yeah.
A random R. Madhavan is like a Pokemon. But he's actually really random in the film. He looks like he's on drugs the whole film. I mean, the whole film as in the three scenes that he's in.
Yeah. One thing also I saw, like, apologists tripping on was, you know, this is Sridevi's last appearance. And, you know, but like there's barely any amount of.
Yeah, she's there in one, like, not even a full scene. Like, she has one line which she says and walks away.
I And that's also too random. Like, I mean, that entire scene when these ex-film stars...
I mean, that is one of those things where it's just like, let's have a cameo for fun. It'll generate 5 articles in the press. And,
yeah, man.
You know, whatever. I mean, I think it's still okay in the construct of, yeah, he's attending like a Bollywood party and all these people are there, fine. But a lot of, like, I mean, I think also the way he first meets Katrina Kaif is also pretty ridiculous. Like, walks out of a car and kisses him because she's drunk. It's like, there's no, and even the lead up to that where he basically plays real life road rash with 5 guys to get behind a car.
No point.
Like, it's just unbelievable.
I, you know what? I also think that, I mean, now that we're talking about this, I think Shah Rukh Khan as a producer and when he's acting is a bad influence because he's done that to 3 good filmmakers now, right? If you think about it. So he's done that to Imtiaz Ali. He's done that to Anand L. Rai. And he's done that to, I would call this guy also Dholakia, Rahul Dholakia, a good filmmaker because his films before this have been good. He made Parzania and he made Lamha. And his films, I mean, I don't know if you've seen them, but if you watch Parzania or Lamha, both of them are centering around some conflict. So Parzania is around the Gujarat riots. Lamha is around Kashmir riots. Not riots, Kashmir situation. And even Rais is like related to riots and related to, you know, these sensitive issues.
Yeah.
And suddenly you have wild Shah Rukh Khan throwing Molotov cocktails. So I think I think this influence is largely Shah Rukh Khan's. Yaar, yahan pe ab aisa ek chase sequence dal dete yaar. Yahan pe ek,
and no one feels this thing to say no to him.
Yeah. I remember in a sober sort of a film like Rab Ne Bana Di Jodi, which I also did not mind too much.
Yeah.
Right. Has a sumo wrestling scene.
Yeah.
So you can, I mean, I can now see where Shah Rukh Khan influence begins, you know, in a movie.
Like, but he said now he's taking a break.
He is, from acting. I really think he should take a long break and he's a very good producer and marketing guy, man. He's a genius at marketing. I'm sure he can do that for the rest of his life and be happy, man. Like Red Chillies is such a legacy now. I mean, if you look at Red Chillies VFX, Red Chillies VFX is a go-to VFX facility in Bollywood, by the way. So, I'm saying, take a backseat, be a producer for a while. He produced a very good film. I really like that film. Siddharth Malhotra and Sonakshi Sinha.
Ittefaq.
Ittefaq, dude. That and was we really, spoke about
it. Yeah, yeah, we did the drunken podcast about it.
So, I like that film. And I'm sure he's also producing a Netflix show now.
Yeah.
With Imran Hashmi. And from what I've heard, it's come out really well from what I've heard of from people who sort of watched snippets or whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Anything else to add on Zero?
I don't think so. Do you recommend it to anybody?
No. I mean, if you're really bored and you just want to, like, you have nothing else to watch on Netflix, like maybe just to, and even then I would say I don't think it's worth sitting through all of it. It's also really long.
It's a long film. Yeah.
But
I have a very like strange story, not a strange story, but interesting, like when how I watched the film.
Okay.
So I was in Delhi during the winter shooting, right? We were shooting a web series, and it was at nights. It would go as like the temperatures would go as low as like 8 degrees, 7 degrees Celsius, right? And the only time I had free after shoot and before the next day's shoot would be at night. And Zero had released, and I was caught in the frenzy. You know, I was like, "Arey yar, dekhni hai, dekhni hai." So, and the only show that I could catch in Delhi in the peak winters was across town at an 11 p.m. show or something, right? So, my shoot wrapped at 9 p.m. I took a cab and it took me like an hour and a half to reach the movie hall at 11 p.m. Movie ended at 2:30 or something. And you know how Delhi, like, famous for being safe, right?
Yes, of course.
So I took a cab all the way back at 3 a.m. I went to sleep at 4. Very, very disappointed in myself. And I had to shoot in the next 2 hours.
Wow.
That is the level of dedication I showed for a fuck all film.
Anyway, moral of the story, do not even put 1/10 that amount. Do not put in the effort of switching on your TV and going to Netflix to watch this, this film. Okay, so that's it for Zero. Thank you so much, Bharat, for
being here. Thank you for having me.
And we will see you again very shortly for another podcast. Thank you so much for listening. That's our show. If you enjoyed that, then please subscribe and spread the word. Bollywood Weekly is available on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Audioboom, and pretty much anywhere else where you might get your podcasts. And if you have any comments or anything you want us to discuss on the show, then do get in touch with us by following TIC Productions on Facebook and on Twitter. See you next week.